Good morning to you that have joined us on this December the 29th in the year of our Lord 2019. It's going to be hard for me to say 2020 soon.
I tell you what, this is it for 19, big boy.
So if you're going to go to worship the Lord at church in a regular service in December of 2019, you better do it today.
Amen.
Do it today. Well, we're so glad you have joined us, though, and we're grateful to you for that. We want to tell you that our lessons come from Isaiah 44:6, and that is 44:6-11, and then John 14:5-7. You may be wondering, what's Isaiah and John got to do with each other? But you're going to see in just a short order here. But so you pray for us, and we will for you. We've been studying, and I'll just say this, and then we're going to introduce ourselves and get started on this great lesson. We've been studying now for several weeks on the general subject of answer to tough questions, defending what you believe. And in this series, we've studied, do we need to defend our faith? Is there a God? Does absolute truth exist? Is Jesus God? Today, aren't all religions the same? So we're going to introduce ourselves, and we're going to get started and have a great time studying the Word of God. Brother Leonard.
Yes. I'm Leonard Hill. I'm pastor out at Cold Fire Baptist Church on the old 82 highway right outside Reform. And I'm just honored to be here among these great men. These men have been saved and called to preach a long time before I was saved, and I'm thankful for them. Amen.
Amen.
I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moore's Bridge Baptist Church over in Tuscaloosa County, and I enjoy being here too.
And Mr. Michael.
I'm Mike Hall. I'm pastor at New Salem Baptist Church at Reform, Alabama.
Where's the old Salem?
The old Salem is over in the woods. It ain't nothing left but the cemetery.
All right. Well, I do know the new Salem is going strong.
Well, thank God for that.
I'm grateful to God for that. I'm Herschel Owen. I am presently the pastor at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Gordo, Alabama. And now I have the best group of folks in the whole world. I'll say that. While I'm going, and these folks will fight me all the way to the door, that theirs aren't. But anyhow, that's the way we're supposed to feel about it.
Amen.
Aren't all religions the same? I mean, after all, guys, as long as you're religious, huh?
As long as you believe something, I mean,
might be the same, but they're not the same as Christianity.
That's right.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Well, I like to say that religion is religion, but Christianity is a relationship.
There you are.
And there's a great difference there. But I understand the question.
Yeah.
And no.
Religion is man's effort to reach God.
That's it. Yep.
Christianity is God's effort to reach man through Jesus Christ the Lord.
Yeah. That is a great explanation.
Wow. We can just dismiss and go home.
Amen.
That's right. I'll tell you what, we build this lesson around what he just said, and we'll have a God-approved lesson.
I read about a young man that was in college, and he was a pastor, and he was in college, and the professor one day said, I have a question. Said, Muhammad said that all religions are the same, and he was trying to create a little argument.
Get somebody going.
And the young man looked at him, and he said, what do you say, young man? He said, well, I agree with Muhammad.
Amen.
He said, you do? He said, yeah, all religions are the same. He said, I don't have religion. I got a relationship with Jesus.
That's it. Amen.
That's a difference.
That's a big difference.
Brother Pinion said, that's it.
All religions are worthless, so they are the same.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, boy, you guys have been to school out of the Pickens County or somewhere here. I don't know, get all that stuff. Of course, I believe they believe that in Pickens County, too.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
We certainly do.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Now, so, somebody said it. while ago, an emphatic no. Was that you? Who said no?
No, I said no. They are not the same.
That's right.
God is one God. He is the only God. There is no other.
That's it.
And anything else is a fraud, a counterfeit.
Amen.
Did you know the hint that the Hindu religion has 33 million gods?
That don't surprise me. If they think of another, they'll add him.
They will. But now, how in the world could I get up and... Which one would I talk to today?
Yeah.
It would take long you enough. A long time to get through them, wouldn't
do
it?
Do I have 33 million days in a life?
Well, truth is, you don't need to talk to none of them because none of them can hear you. Ain't none of them for real.
That's exactly right. So, what we're going to do, we're going to study three subjects along this line. Aren't all religions the same? Who is the God we worship? Who are the idol gods that human beings create? And then what is Jesus' part in our relationship with God? And Leonard keeps saying relationship, relationship, and it's absolutely so. All right, Brother Leonard, you sitting to the right of me. You start us out in Isaiah 44, 6 through 8.
Amen. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me? Since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God beside me.
Boy, I'm ready to put that last little phrase in. I'm getting concerned there, like that boy in college you were talking about a while ago. But, so tell me one thing, and we can tell 100, but tell me something about God, who is the Creator, and what does that mean to you, Brother Pinion?
Well, it means that every way I look and every way I understand, there's God.
Amen.
That's where God is, and that's who God is. I look at the created order around me, and I rejoice in it most of the time every day.
Yep.
To some degree or other,
right.
Rejoicing in what God has done to make life a whole lot more pleasant and a whole lot more real as we look at it. And the creation around us, to me, is just absolutely phenomenal. We got a big old oak tree back here in our backyard. And there ain't no telling how old that oak tree is. Or how it got started and when it got started.
Little acorn.
Huh?
Little acorn. I
loaded with acorns. Loaded with acorns. And I look at that thing and I think, now, man can't do that. Man can destroy it. But man can't make it.
Absolutely.
And that gives me great pleasure to see the created order that God made and made it available to me to enjoy and rejoice in and to be a part of.
What about you, Mike? What does it mean, him being the creator?
Well, one day the Lord and the devil come together and had a little talk, and the devil was angry, and he said, I'm going to take your place. And the Lord said, how are you going to do that? He said, I'm going to start out by creating my own creation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, well, okay, show me what you can do. So the devil reached down and got him a handful of dirt. And the Lord said, whoa, get your own dirt.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, even down to the most base of the dirt, you know, get your own dirt. Where's it going to come from?
It's his dirt.
It's his. He created it all. And we don't have to understand it all.
And we never will.
Struggle all the time. But the beauty of God is that even a child can be saved and professors sat around all the time trying to figure out how to make him more complicated. But we know that it takes one simple truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you'll believe that, then the rest of the Bible just opens up to you like a beautiful panorama. I used to drive school bus, and I loved in the morning time, you know, when I'd ride out of my driveway in the bus. You could just barely see the sun coming up over the horizon. Sometimes it'd be a flamingo color. Sometimes it'd be orange. Sometimes it'd be white and beautiful. So you never knew what you was going to get, but you knew one thing. You're going to get a beautiful scene. And it happened every morning, and every morning I'd praise God for it. Now I sleep too late for that. But I try to catch it in the evening.
You send your wife outside to make a picture of it.
Make a picture of it. I catch the sunset.
Daveen is his wife, and she goes out and makes a picture. About 9 o'clock, she showed it to us.
Shows it to me. But I enjoy the sunsets now. But anyhow.
One of the things, Mike, that I would enjoy about that would be those little old mean chaps.
Oh, them little chaps. Well, yes, sir.
That you picked up on your bus.
The first little girl I would pick up every morning was a little pudgy thing. And when I first started driving, she was about knee high, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she had trouble getting up on that first step. And her mama, for some reason, would never get out of the car and come over and help her get up that first step. So I'd have to lock down the bus and give the little thing a hand, you know. By the time I stopped driving, she was plenty big enough and then some. But that little old smiling face looked just like the sunshine was getting on the bus with me, you know.
Yeah.
And she was a mess now. She was a mess. But I loved her to death because she, too, was just a reminder of the creation of God, and he's still doing it today. I cannot express the joy I get in just looking at a leaf on a tree, you know.
Amen.
You can just, for hours, you can sit there and just look at that thing and wonder how God created every little minute point about it, you know, and how he just...
Every vein in it,
every little cell. There's things about that leaf that scientists still haven't discovered.
That's right.
You're talking about that old oak tree, you know. What tells that oak tree that it's time to turn colors in the fall or to put out buds in the springtime? I can't hardly tell the difference. Yeah, we'll have a few little warm days, but that tree ain't got no brain. What tells that tree it's time to bud out and do all of that? You got that right. God does. So,
and he turns his leaves loose in the fall.
That's right. And it sits there all winter long, just waiting for the time when God says, okay, it's time. And I just love it so much to see the creation of God around me. And know, if you cannot see creation and know there is a God, then you're blind. You're ignorant, and you need to take
both.
A reassessment.
Or both.
And you need to reassess your life and take a look.
Amen.
Just take a look.
And you're talking about that oak tree blooming and what have you.
Yeah.
Because we believe in the eternal existence of a real God.
That's right.
One of these days, we're going to go to heaven, and we're going to spend eternity with him.
Yeah.
And those who believe in the religion...
Yeah,
going to be somewhere else,
oh,
a place called hell.
Oh man,
separated from him, but they will know one day.
Well, science, like the sign says, you know, there are no unbelievers in hell. There are no unbelievers in hell.
No,
just those who believe too late.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
And that's exactly the way it is.
That's right.
Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
But we live in a time now where people belittle God. People, according to polls, and I don't know much about that, but less and less people are believing in God.
Oh, yeah.
Or so they say. But you know what? Now, it's been one of the sad things for me as a pastor. I've had to be by the bedside many times of people who died.
We all have.
Mm-hmm. Have any one of you ever seen anybody die who was died proclaiming atheism.
I never have. No.
I had an uncle that stood on a day when lightning was striking trees in our little old clearing there. We were way back in the country. And he stepped, he hadn't even got on the porch yet, raised his fist to heaven and say, "If you're a God, I dare you to strike me dead."
Wow.
Now, I didn't know God, but I knew there was a God. I knew there was somebody bigger than me. And so I just moved away from him.
Sure you did.
Because I knew that I was fixing to barbecue him.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the storm came on, big old, in the country out there, big old drops of water looked like silver dollars began to hit that dust. You can smell that dust when it when it begins to do that. He climbed up on the porch, sat down, didn't look to me like any worse for wear. Fast forward about 6 months, they called us and said, "If we want to see him, we better come to the People's Hospital in Jasper." So we did. And he was in one of those old-timey beds that used to raise the sides up on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Metal rails.
Metal rails. And he wasn't conscious. But he reached with his arms now. That fist looked like a ham when he raised it in the face of God. Now it looked like a little ball. And his arms no bigger around, than a broom handle. And he shook that bed. And I'll never forget, "Oh God, oh God." He didn't know what he was saying, but he wasn't dying. He wasn't dying denying God and shaking his fist in the face of God either.
Right.
And I've seen folks die that wouldn't be saved. And I've seen one thing when I was little. We used to go out in the country to the homes of people. They died at home and sit with the people.
Yep.
And Mama carried us over there. And I remember this man, as he was dying, they had to hold him on the bed.
Yeah.
He talked about seeing the flames of hell. Yeah, man, it has disturbed me all the way down through the years.
Absolutely.
But listen, folks, there is a God. There is a God. Who can make eyes that can see? Recently, I had cataract surgery.
Yeah, me too.
And I thought I was seeing good.
Yeah.
Only thing bothered me was those bright lights at night when I'd meet a car. And I said, "Doc, if you can fix that, I'm in good shape." Well, he said it'll take me 8 minutes on each eye. And he did. And it's amazing what I can see. But you know what's come to me since then? Who? Show me somebody that can make an eye like that God did.
Absolutely.
Show me somebody that can make a heart that beats. I don't have to say, "Now it's my time, my heart to beat." You be quiet, Brandon. My heart's been beating. My heart beats.
That is also.
Amen.
Time to take a breath. Leonard, you go ahead and then I'll get my neck. No, your body. God did that. God created that. God the Creator did that, people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever held a little baby in your hands and looked at that baby and had five fingers, five toes, little eyes that looked
like a newborn now.
Newborn baby, little newborn baby. And there is the picture of what only God could do as Creator. God created that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love the garden. And you take your old dry pea seed and put them out there in that dirt. Makes no sense whatsoever.
That's foolish. You're not doing that, are you?
Put a little water with them.
Just watch God send a little shower of rain. Almost the next day, here comes them sprouts up out of the ground. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
You take one of them old dry peas and bust it open, ain't nothing green in there. Nothing look like it all come up out of there. And it just pops right up out of the ground, and there it comes. And I'm like, "Wow, God, you are amazing. Awesome God. Awesome God."
So he was the Creator, is the Creator. Nothing, what does the Bible say? Nothing was made that is made if he didn't do it.
Absolutely.
I'm putting it in Pickens County translation.
Yes, sir.
Everything he done. So people, you don't have to go to New York City to try to see something God made. Walk outside and look outside your door there and you will see what the Creator did. I noticed that my little John quills are beginning to come up out along the sidewalk there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
God must have told them to come up.
Well, he did.
And they're coming up. I just get all excited when I think about God that designed all of this and made all of this. And, man, it's the most wonderful thing I ever ran. Well, one more wonderful thing. He put a soul and a longing in me to know God. And one day I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. And that is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
It is indeed the greatest thing.
That's the same with all of us, Herschel.
That's it.
I was pastoring a little church down in Geneva back in the early 80s. And I had a lady in our church named Miss Judah. And Miss Judah got real sick. And I visited her on a Saturday. But the girl, her daughter, called me early Sunday morning and said, "Pastor, you need to come." I said, "Mama, I'm not doing good." Well, I went by and visited with her. I said, "I'll be right back. So this church is over, I'll be right back." I went back, and Miss Judah was just laying there. She wasn't saying anything. And I began to speak to her and talk to her a little bit. And all of a sudden, she looked, opened her eyes, and she said, "Preacher, aren't they beautiful?"
Aren't they beautiful?
I said, "Yes, ma'am, you got some pretty girls." She said, "Not the girls." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Look at all the angels around."
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I looked around, and my hair stood up on the back. I said, "Miss Judah, I don't see no angels." She said,
"No, they
didn't come for you, did they?" No wonder you didn't see them.
The old song that I wish I could sing, "Angels Among Us."
Yeah.
Oh, my angels.
Well, I'll tell you,
they didn't come for you.
Yes, Lord, yes.
But absolutely. They are one day.
They are one day.
That's a re.
Amen.
And folks, and that's the thing. I was going to do this a little bit later on. But we done got so happy and so excited over our salvation and over what the Creator did for us who live in Pickens County, Alabama, a little old place called Gordo. And it means in Spanish, fat. And it, you know, there ain't one of us here that'd fit. But anyhow, can you imagine that the God that made all of this knows me?
Yeah.
He knows each one of you guys.
Amen.
He knows my name.
He knows when you breathe.
He does.
Everything and anything about you, me, anyone else that's saved, he knows about
them. He does.
And the lost, he knows about their condition.
That's right.
And that's what's so sad about it.
It is. Me. It is. Well, tell them how they can. Somebody's saying, "Well, I wish I knew how to be saved and feel kind of like those preachers feel." Tell them about it, Brother Pinion.
Well, the best thing to do is just realize that God is God and that I'm not.
Amen.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Now, anybody that is not saved, they think they're God.
Mm-hmm.
And they might think there is no God,
mm-hmm.
but they're sadly mistaken.
Amen.
And the thing they need to recognize is that they sinned.
Amen.
The Bible says it very plainly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
They have not lived up to the standard.
No.
Nor has anyone else lived up to the standard that God set forth for us as human beings.
Right.
And so when he didn't set that forth for us, we've got to accept what he gives to us so that we can come to that point.
Amen.
And that was Jesus.
Right.
He gave Jesus Christ as our substitute. And when we trust Jesus Christ as that substitute, then we become right with him. We live up to his standard. And only then do we live up to his standard.
We live up to his standard through the righteousness he gives to
us. That's it. And if we don't, then we're bound for hell.
Right.
And that's sad. Because God did so much to try to get us saved and get us in a right relationship with him, that he gave his only begotten son. And the only thing we need to do is just trust in him.
Amen.
And give our hearts and lives to him. And let God be God in our lives and through our lives in every sense of the word.
Well, but just, I think that's too simple. Surely I got to do something complex, like old Naaman when he came down with leprosy to see Elisha. He said, I thought he'd come out and tell me some hard thing to do. And isn't that our mindset that we think we got to contribute to it?
Well, the only thing we got to contribute to it is a little bit of faith.
And that's it.
And that's all. I mean, Naaman had to have a little bit of faith.
He didn't want to go wash down in that river.
No, it was nasty.
We got cleaner river back at my house, he said.
We got clear water.
We got some clean water back at my house.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get in this old Buddy Creek. Yeah.
But he did, and he had to, in order to be faithful to God and to God's man.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to do now. They need to be faithful to God and faithfully listen to God's man in telling them how to be saved.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you might be saved.
Thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's a strong...
That ain't no maybe, no ifs, ands, or buts.
And God said it.
God said it.
Yeah.
Just like he said to old Abraham, I am that I am.
Yeah.
And he don't have to apologize or back up to nobody.
And you don't have to understand it.
Absolutely.
You don't have to understand it.
I like that Reese's Cup commercial. Reese's Cups. Not sorry. I am God. Not sorry. I am what I am. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Just that simple. Believe, you shall be saved.
So that this thing I hear people talking about, turn over a new leaf.
You turn over every leaf in the state of Alabama, Mississippi.
Life is what you got to do.
Exactly.
And just turn that over to him.
Just believe.
And one of the things, Hurston, that I've become more acquainted with recently than before is that you've got to turn everything over to him.
Right.
I mean, it's not a partial thing.
No.
It's everything.
That's right.
Or it's none.
And we used to sing an old song, Brian, when you and I were first saved. I surrender all.
Oh, yeah.
All to Jesus. I surrender.
Okay. All right.
To him I freely give.
I'm sorry, radio listeners. They're getting up and leaving us.
I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live.
Believe and thou shalt be saved.
That's enough. Will y'all quit messing me up?
Well, listen, folks. Now, look. That might not have been the most beautiful singing you've ever heard, but that's the most beautiful news you've ever heard.
Truth and soul. Right. Truth and soul.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you. So, who is God? He's the creator. He's the redeemer. He's the leader of the army. Talking about he's the Lord of hosts. Host means army. The name of God was so sacred that they substituted a word for it because they would not even say it was so sacred and so holy to them. Well, Who is God? When's God going to die, Mike?
God will never die. He is eternal. He always has been, and he always will be.
So he wasn't born?
Our finite minds can't comprehend that. No, he was not born. He always has been. Wow. I don't understand it. Oh, no, no. But I believe it.
That's right. Me
too. I believe it. I don't have to understand it to believe it. I believe lightning will kill me. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And I'm going to stay out of its way.
I believe electricity, that these lights shine.
Yes,
I can't
indeed.
See it.
That's right.
I have felt it sometimes.
And you get your fingers like it.
But I have.
But the truth is, I believe it. I know it.
The mystery of lightning that you, now that you've
right,
mentioned it, Mike,
right, right.
The mystery of it.
Right.
We're sitting here and a little cloud comes over.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden there's a bolt of lightning comes out and hits a tree. And
split it wide.
And man, it split it wide open and kill it.
Oh, yeah.
Graveyard
oh, yeah.
dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where'd it come from?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be trying to get away from it.
Hey.
I know that Joshua or Moses didn't send it.
I know one thing. It'll go a long way.
Well, I'm going to respect the bar.
It goes a long way quick.
You got that right.
I was, when lived in Coker, I found this out in a personal way. It was raining cats and dogs, and my porch was a little old low-slung porch, but it was high enough that I could get under it and not have to bend over.
Mm-hmm.
And I had put me some gutters and downspouts. Well, my downspouts got clogged up.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out there in the rain, and it didn't, you know, I thought, well, it ain't nothing to it. Just get a little wet, and I can go inside and dry off, change clothes, and do all right. I reached up there and got me a handful of them acorns and sticks and things that had washed off my porch and stopped up my drain. And about that time, there was a lightning bolt hit somewhere in Coker.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it.
Yeah.
It jarred me into getting myself in the house and getting dried off. I was afraid it's going to follow me.
Yeah.
But, I know what it'll do.
Yeah. And the Creator made that. The Creator did.
Oh, yes.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yes.
And he had a purpose in
yes,
making
that.
Yes,
he
did. He taught me a good lesson on it.
Well, we could just go on and on and on and on and on. But who is our God? I'll tell you who he is. He's the only God. He's the only God. He is Creator. He is Redeemer. He is our leader. He is eternal. He is the only true God. So, folks, if you don't believe in him, then and you've not done what you were just told to do by Brother Pinion, I'm begging you, I'm pleading you, before it's too late, find you a place on your knees by your couch or somewhere today, right this minute, and invite him into your heart. Tell him you're sorry for the sins you've committed. Ask him to forgive them. And on the authority of the Word of God and my personal experience and the experience of every one of these guys around this table, we tell you that he will forgive you. Though your sins be as scarlet, he'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll become as wool.
Amen.
Right this very, very, very minute. Well, let's go on then. We talk about who God is, and man, we could for the rest of our life with every breath we have, and we wouldn't adequately.
Oh, absolutely. We could not ever reach the height, the depth, or the width of God.
But it is wonderful not to know of him, but to know him.
Amen.
To know him. Let's go on then. I want to tell about 10 more things about that, but I better not. Who are the idol gods that humans create then, Brother Leonard, if you'll read us that scripture?
Verse 9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witness. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who is born to God are molded graven image that is profitable for nothing. Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, and let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together.
Who are the idol gods that human beings create? Well, first of all, what does it mean that they that make a graven image are all of them vanity? What do you think that means, brother?
Well, it means to carve out something that you build a little old artificial place somewhere in your house, and you set that thing up, and so many times a day, or so often enough, satisfy your inner being somehow or other. You go buy that thing and you worship it. You say things. You pray to it. You ask it to do things for you that God can't do and God will do if they'll ask him. But those things just happen. I mean, they just happen.
What are they? What does it mean, vanity, Brother Mike?
Well, the Bible uses a great illustration for that. If you want to carve you out of God, you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's no problem. Go out there and cut that old oak tree down that Brian was talking about. It's a beautiful tree.
Mm-hmm.
There's some nice big old limbs on it. So we'll cut her down, and then we'll pick us out a section of that tree, and we'll carve us out of God.
Well, first of all, we're going to do... There's two other things we're going to do with it for.
All right.
One is we're going to warm ourselves with it.
Well, there you go. Same tree.
Part of it anyway, yeah.
And we're going to cook our
meals with it. Yeah, uh-huh.
So here we've taken the same tree, warmed ourselves, cooked our meal, and then made it
God. But we took one section. It's a pretty section. It's a real pretty section down close to the bottom right there. Boy, so we'll make a God out of that part of it. What's the difference? What's the difference between that and the stuff you cooked your meals with and warmed your hands?
None.
It's what the Bible says. And it's truth. I mean, it's just a sense of speaking to your own reason. And I tell you something else. I have been there and done that when it comes to, you know, to seeing other people's types of worship. And I can tell you something. It is like the insides of me turns to jelly almost to just be around it, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me.
Amen.
He is the Spirit of God, and he is appalled by stuff like that. I've been in business, as you have, and to your other guys, and I've been in places in business where I see people who literally worship their job or their money or or their position, or they... And I am sickened by the games that they play.
Right.
You know, I'm amazed. I had a business one time, well owned a radio station, and I was preaching at that time, same church I'm still pastor at. But anyway, we went through, I guess, a couple of months after I first bought the radio station, and things weren't going real good. Now, this is just personal confession, but... And I thought, well, what in the world? And the former owner, he was kind of ragging me that how things was going. And
oh, brother.
Mr. Hook, I love him to death. He's dead and gone. But anyway, so one morning I just come in and you know, it just dawned on me. When we start our day down there, we just started like any other business, doing any other thing. So I just got the staff together. I said, come in, boys, girls. And we started having prayer. You would be amazed at the difference in the way things went.
Amen.
Then,
amen.
God says, try me. Prove me. And I will show you. God will show you he is God. I remember one time in particular, and I won't take a long time, but we were, you know, you're always in business up and down. But I got a shock one day when the tax man called me and said, look, I got to have $25,000 today. I said, for what? And he said, I've just discovered that we made a mistake, and you owe the IRS $25,000 right now. And the IRS man called in a few minutes, and he said, I got to have that money. This was on Thursday. He said, I got to have it by Monday, or I'm going to have to put a padlock on your door. I said, son, I didn't know this. He said, ignorance is no excuse. He said, I'll still have to do what I got to do. And I began to pray earnestly, obviously. You know, God, what in the world? I thought everything was okay, and here I am about to lose everything. And I knew if he put a lock on the door, then the bank's going to foreclose. And that included, I mean, my house, everything I had was on that note. And I thought, well, this is it. I mean, this is it. There's no hope. There's nothing else I can do. And I went to the church. I didn't get on my knees. I got down just as prostrate in the floor. I got as flat in that carpet as I could get at the altar. And I said, God, this is it. This is it. If you don't help me, nobody else can. And I had an old boy that was with me in the business, and he was an unbeliever. He didn't believe in God. And I told him, I said, well, I have prayed. Terry, I said, I've talked to God, and there's nothing else I can do. And he said, well, you look like you're, I said, I'm fine. I'm okay. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I said, I'm okay. I said, God's going to do what God's going to do. And everybody works out now, it's in his hands. And boy, he said a few choice words, but I said, so there it is. It wasn't just a few minutes, the phone rang, and Don Wildman up in Tupelo, Mississippi, called me. And he said, I'd like to buy a little space on your tower. I said, okay. He said, what do you have to have? I said, probably, you know, $400 a month. I'll cut you a break because he's wanting to start a church, a good radio station for the Lord. And he said, well, come on up here tomorrow. That'd be on Friday now. And let's talk about it, because he said, you know, I'll have the contracts ready. And I said, okay. So I got up there. You know, well, I sat down there with him, and I said, I thought, well, okay, God's providing. Okay. So I said, let me sell you a radio station. You know, right? Well, he thought about it. He said, because I'd had to have, you know, $1.5 million at least for it. And he said, I can't do that. And he said, but let me ask you something. Would $25,000 help you any? I said, a whole lot. He said, well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll buy a 20-year lease at 800 feet on your tower. I said, I'll take your check. He said, I'll have it ready in a few minutes. So I went and got me a piece of chicken to eat for dinner. And the old boy that was with me, of course, like I say, he was an unbeliever at the time. We got in the car. He was as pale as a corpse. He looked at me and he said, well, I won't say the word he said. He said, that ain't nothing but God. I said, that's you right. Got that right. And like I say, he was
amen.
Praise God. He trusts the Lord now. He and I are prayer partners. He lives in Virginia, and I call him up for prayer, and we pray together and all that. But anyway, just a long story short, that's one example. But, and I know it's kind of extreme, but let me tell you something.
No, that's kind of extreme.
My God. Takes care of you. He does. Now, there may be times, and it would have been fine, honest to goodness, if I'd have went through that and God had not given me $25,000 and I'd had to, you know, give up the radio station or whatever.
It worked out some other way.
It would have been another way. That's exactly, he'd have had another plan. But it wasn't too awful long after that I sold that radio station and I went to work for Don Wildman and had 13 wonderful years with American Family Radio. Amen. So, you see, God had a plan even then.
He had a plan beyond what you thought you were
doing. I thought, okay, God wants me to have this radio station because he doesn't give me $25,000. Instead, after that, he sent me a buyer. And I said, okay, God, I got your message. And it was wonderful. It was great.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. You don't cut Brannon's tree down, but go get you a pine tree or something.
Okay. Out of the woods, okay.
And make you that God. Could he have done what the real living God did?
All I could have done is took that stump and sat on it a little while, and that'd have been the end of it. I'd have had pine rosin on the seat of my britches, but that's all I would have had.
And in the first place, the tree couldn't have hurt him.
That's right.
Amen.
And in the second place, if it had hurt me, it wouldn't have had nothing he could do with. So.
That's right.
God is amazing. He's an awesome God. I got a million stories, and you have too. All of us around this table.
Oh yeah.
We've served the Lord for decades, all of us. And man, I could tell you hair-raising stories, one after the other. But let me tell you something. In the morning, when the sun comes up, that's a miracle.
You're right.
And just like that little baby you was talking about, go to the hospital and sit there for a few minutes, and you'll hear folks start shouting, boy, the baby done been born. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
Just the little tiny things. The fact that your heart beats one more time, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
That's a miracle, because ain't no reason for your heart to keep on beating. Some folks will say, well, I don't know why God took old so-and-so's life. God didn't take anybody's life. He just quit giving it.
That's right.
Every heartbeat is a gift from God.
So the truth is, folks, words are not adequate to say how foolish it is and how vain it is to trust anything and to serve anything
other than God.
I would not ever want to live one second of my life without God in it.
Nope. Amen. First thing I do when I get out in my study, first prayer, God, fill my heart and my head with your word.
Amen. And that's what...
Before I ever open the Bible.
I do too.
God, fill my head and my heart with your word.
And then when I get up to preach, I pray that again.
I need to
because hear. I can get up and quote all kind of fancy words and what have you, and tell them what Dr. Squashy said up at Squishy University and whatever. But that don't, they ain't nobody impressed, and nobody gets any benefit out of that. But when I say, thus saith the Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, the living, mighty, only, eternal, everlasting, loving God comes, then I'll tell you something, there's sparks begin to fly and hearts begin to beat faster.
It's different between a sermon and a message.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, and this old boy listens to the radio station right now, but them's them preachers, and they live imperfect lives. They don't ever sin. They don't ever do anything wrong, and that's why God, you know, blesses them the way he does and answers their prayers the way he does. Can I share one quick thing?
Yeah.
I'm just as human as anybody listening to this radio station.
Amen.
And I'm sad to say it. It brings tears to my eyes to think about the times that I disobey God and think things and do things and say things that I shouldn't. But I know inside of my heart, I got saved when I was 11 years old. And I went through my teenage years just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I did things I shouldn't do, and I went places I shouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
But there's never been a time since I got saved that the Holy Spirit inside of me didn't convict me of that sin. And if I fall on my face, and John says it so plain, if we'll just confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Oh, and now listen, He's not writing that to the unsaved.
No.
He's writing that to the church, to the believers. So you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, and that same Holy Spirit will come in and live in you, and he will convict you of your sins. And if you, as a Christian, when you sin, he'll tell you what it is. He don't tell you, oh, you just a sorry, low down, good for nothing. That's the devil does that. Just ask Brandon. He can tell you what the devil does. He'll tell you, you're sorry, low down, good for nothing. But the Lord don't do that. The Holy Spirit tells you, you did this. Now deal with it. So take this to God. Do it right now. If you've ever been closer to God than you are right now, then to that extent, you're backslidden.
Right.
And you need to come back to God. And right now, all these New Year's resolutions, folks kicking around, don't make no New Year's resolution. Just make a confession to God and get a fresh start today. Because you're still breathing, your heart's still beating, and as long as it is, God is still calling you to come back to him.
Amen.
Do it right now.
And I don't know what you're trusting, but we substitute. If we don't know and commit our life to Christ and the Heavenly Father, we'll substitute something. We're created with a place in our heart for a God.
Amen.
For the God.
For the only God.
But we substitute sometimes. And I can share, and I'll do this very quickly too. But when my daughter was involved, first of all, 5 years old, hit by a motorcycle, and the doctor says she's not going to live, and she did. What if I'd have gone out to that stump you were talking about?
Exactly.
The pine stump. All I could have done was sit on it, but I couldn't talk to it. It wouldn't have heard me. Or my money wouldn't have heard me. Anything else that's substituted for God is absolutely worthless and vain. When she was involved in an automobile accident just a few years ago, and the doctor says she will not live through the night, and on the 41st day, we carried her home. If I'd have talked to the stump, she'd have died.
Amen.
But I talked to God,
absolutely,
the God. Do not allow anything to come before God in your life.
Amen.
The true living God. Because
yes.
It won't do to live with, and it sure won't do to die with, and it won't do when there's a time when you're desperate to pray.
Absolutely.
And have an answer. Whether it's over $25,000 that you don't have a clue you're going to get, or over the life of your child. The idol gods cannot help you. Now, let's go on then. Are all religions the same? No, of course not.
Absolutely not.
A stump not like the living God. Let's go on, Brother Leonard, and read.
John 14, verses 5 through 7.
Right.
Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He says in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Amen.
Amen. What was the time of Jesus' teaching? It was at the Last Supper.
It was.
Just prior to his crucifixion.
Right.
And so, you know, when you go to die, I've never seen anybody joking and carrying on about death when they're dying. It's time to die. When Jesus came to die, that was his purpose for coming. But now the time is here. It is now that appointed time. And his time to go to the cross is here. You can listen to a man when he gets in this condition, and you can listen to Jesus always here. There'll come a time in your life when the doctor shakes his head and you're watching him, and you say, boy, that ain't good news. That ain't good news. And he says to you, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, I've done all I know to do, and it just ain't working. I've given you all the medicine I know to do, and it's not working. Or you look over at your child and they say that. You better know God. You better have a relationship with God.
I had a guy in our church in Wetumpka, Lewis Tracy, one of my deacons. His wife had died a couple of years ahead of that. He went in the hospital and had some tests run, and I was there that morning. Doctor walked in. He said, Mr. Tracy, I have some bad news. And he said, well, what is it? He said, you got cancer, and it's in the last stage. He said, what you need to do is go home and get your house in order. And I never will forget what Brother Lewis looked at me. He said, Doc, my house is in order. If I
Amen.
Don't leave this bed, my house is in order.
Amen.
I got a wife in heaven waiting on me.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you just said is all right with me.
Amen.
I'm ready.
Amen.
I done taken care of all that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So what is Jesus' part in our relationship and what we've just read here? Now, can I go to Mike Hall over here and go to God and skip Jesus?
No. Mike Hall can, as I tell him in my church so many times, I can't save you, but I know who can.
Yeah.
And I'll pray with you. I'll agonize with you. I'll weep with you. We'll go to God together, but he alone, Jesus
Amen.
Alone can save
yeah,
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is no other.
Way.
No other.
And so he said he was the way. What's he talking about there, Leonard? What's he talking about, the way?
He's talking about there's only one way to heaven. A lot of people try to think there's a lot of different ways, by living good and by doing this or that. But Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, I am the only way that you can get there. He is the gate. He's the door. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to come through him.
Well, I tell you something else too, Leonard. You know, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I am.
Yeah.
But boy, I tell you what, I love my relationship.
Amen.
Now,
that's
you
right.
know.
It's him all now here with
that's
him.
Right. That's right. I even hesitate to say it this way, but even if there were no heaven, I'd want to have Christ in my life now
right.
here
Amen.
Where I live. Even if there were nothing after death,
that's right.
I'd want to live with him now as long as he gives me life.
Amen.
I mean, but heaven is wonderful, and I look forward to it. I can't even start to imagine, you know, we ought to live every day of our life with heaven in view.
Amen.
That's right.
But, boy, I tell you what, it's wonderful right now.
It is.
Knowing that no matter what comes along in my life, I can get in that truck out there right now and go down the road and have a car wreck. And the Lord didn't turn his back on me. He's right there with me
truck. He just reached down and lifted you up.
You got that right. And you just know that, and it's a fact.
Now I have prayed this prayer too, Brother Mike. I have prayed, God, I don't ever want to go back to where I was. Don't ever.
Oh, That old sinner without God thinks he's having fun.
Thanks,
let me tell you something. I've got joy unspeakable
right.
and
Amen.
Full of glory.
Full of glory.
Yeah. I'm ready.
And I don't want me and Brandon to sing it, but the old song says, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Here, let's go on a little bit. It's heaven below my Redeemer to know.
Amen.
That's what you were saying.
My Redeemer to know. That's right.
It.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Just to walk with him every day, to feel his presence in my life. Lay down, put my head on the pillow at night when I go to, oh, my goodness, life. My goodness, life.
I believe
ain't
you're
nothing.
Have
ain't
to
nothing
hold
like.
My baby and let me shout.
Woo! Let me tell you. Hold a mule, let me shout. I guarantee.
What? There's nothing greater.
Ain't nothing even come
yeah.
close.
I don't know. Somebody got a Lexus for Christmas and somebody got a Cadillac and a Lincoln. But listen, I got the Savior
Amen.
That was born on Christmas okay. Day and he lives within my heart.
But well, you had him right. before Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And thank God still
yeah,
got him after Christmas, too.
I tell you what,
that's the
key
to the thing, see.
That's right.
Is having him before Christmas.
Right. Having him every
but
day.
Christmas means a lot more when you have him.
Yes, it does.
Amen.
I'm going to say that. I got saved in January. 1974.
Amen.
And by the way, yeah. Christmas came the next year.
Yeah.
I Woo-hoo. Really understood what Christmas was all about.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Well, every day with Jesus is
sweeter
than
the
day
before.
That's right.
Every day with Jesus, we love him more
hey,
and more.
I believe
more
he
more.
Won't change.
We're going to have a quartet here.
I
for
can't sing, man. But
join us next week when yeah. Leonard will be singing
no,
for you.
No.
Yeah, he will, of no, course. He's got the joy
yeah.
joy down in his heart.
Down in the heart.
And listen, you can have it. We don't have the patent on that or the control on that, and we limit it. God says it's unlimited. Whosoever will may come.
Amen.
That's you sitting on the couch. That's you sitting in the car. That's you that's thinking about taking your own life. That's you that your family's falling all apart and you've just gone through a Christmas season and you're sad and all and you don't know what to do. Listen. Jesus is the reason for the season is true, but all religions are not the same. Only that relationship with Jesus Christ will give you joy and peace. You can put your head on a pillow at night and know if he says your name and you go to be with him, it's just going to get better. It's just going to get better. That's not a penalty. That is a powerful, powerful promotion when he calls you home. Please, if you don't know him, our prayer today and our pleading is find you a place. You don't have to go hunt a priest up. Find you a place. Just confess your sins. Ask his forgiveness. Trust what he did for you on the cross. And you will understand all religions are not the same. Join us next week right here on the radio.